Praise the Lord. Well, let me get my mic on here so I don't have to hold this. Testing, one, two. All right, we're good. Praise the Lord. You ready for the Word of God? All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Reminder to write a thought down. So I'm going to ask you before the sermon ends, did you write a thought down, right? So you're going to have to nod your head, and you can't lie in church, right? You all know that, right? You can't lie in church. I don't know if you've heard that before, but it would be good not to do that. So write a thought down. If you have a phone, you're allowed to write it on your phone. That's okay. Text it to your friend. Praise the Lord. Well, in 2018, we're going to fight for the land. We're going to not be satisfied for ordinary. We got to keep growing. We got to keep fighting. We got to keep trusting. We got to be obedient to God's word. As you may have heard this week, Reverend Billy Graham has gone home to be with the Lord. And one of my favorite heroes, I guess, of I can remember in the 70s because I was 5, 6, 7 years old in the 70s. And I can remember watching him on TV because back then they used to show his crusades like on, we only had 3 channels, right? ABC, NBC, CBS. That's it. I couldn't afford cable. That was it. I don't even know if they had cable, probably. But they would show the crusades at 7 p.m. prime time showing. I used to watch them and so I'm sure part of God doing the work he was doing in my heart when I was young. So I wanted to show this video, which is kind of a tribute video that the Billy Graham industry, I guess, or ministry put together. So I wanted to show this, and I don't have a long sermon for you today, but I do think the title of the sermon is right along Billy Graham's message, and that is The Simplicity of the Gospel. And everyone can sum up Billy Graham message by that. It was a simple message, but so powerful. So let's go ahead and play this video and watch it together.
It's not often one man is able to move the hearts of nations, to usher change across race and age. But when someone gives their life to a divine calling, amazing things happen. That is the legacy of Billy Graham.
Tonight, I'm glad to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ can be received. Your sins forgiven. Your burdens lifted.
Was born in 1918 during the end of World War I. Growing up on his family's dairy farm in North Carolina, no one could have imagined what God had in store for this hard-working young man.
When he was 13 years old, he was in a play at school. His voice carried so well. I says, I just think there's something in that boy that we haven't discovered yet.
At age 15, he was invited to hear a man named Mordecai Ham preach at a citywide revival meeting.
I was taken by a friend, and I became fascinated. And then the Spirit of God began to speak to me as I went back night after night. And one night when the invitation was given, I just said, Lord, I'm going.
From this moment, life would never be the same for Billy. A new passion burned in his heart to see lives changed. He went on to college and began preaching the good news of Jesus to anyone who would listen. It was during those years of academics and Sunday sermons that Billy met Ruth. The young missionary girl raised in China would become his best friend, the true love of his life. And he would be the first to say that without Ruth, his growth as a preacher and evangelist would not have been possible.
When I came out and saw her standing there, he said, "That is Ruth Bell." At that moment, I was in love. And not only in love, something told me inside she'll be your wife. Now, it took her nearly a year to come to that same conclusion.
Mm-hmm. Word of his powerful message spread quickly. He preached on the stages of concert halls and auditoriums and over the airwaves of radio and television. And soon, people began lining the streets by the tens of thousands just to hear him speak.
Before we can have world peace, we must have peace within our heart.
Und bis wir Weltfrieden haben, müssen wir es
Frieden. There's only one road to heaven.
You say, but if I believe God, isn't that enough?
I want to tell you before you leave Madison Square Garden this night of May 15th, you can find everything that you've been searching for in Christ.
Jesus Christ is the way. He is the truth. He is the light.
He was a mighty man. The Bible tells us that in spite of our sins and rebellion, that God loves us.
As countless people responded to the move of God's Spirit, the demands on Billy seemed constant. But it was Ruth and their children that brought him strength and joy. Their home was a special place where he could simply spend time as a father and loving husband. These moments were precious to Billy.
Yes, there is a great sense of loneliness. And if there is a price to pay in this work, it is that I'm not with my children.
God's calling on Billy's life took him from the largest stadiums to the most remote villages of Africa. He spoke not only of God's forgiveness, but also against the evils of racism, communism, and social injustice in our world.
And don't let anybody ever tell you that it's white or black. Christ belongs to all people. He belongs to the whole world.
He was one of the most sought-after men of this age, turning down the political stage and Hollywood spotlight in order to continue his ministry to the lost, weary, and forgotten. His message was unfaltering, remaining true to the gospel and his steadfast faith in Christ.
I'm asking you tonight to follow him, to serve him, to let him come into your heart and forgive you. Be forgiven! Know that you're going to heaven.
What can be said about one man's life? For Billy Graham, let it be said that he lived his life to bring the lost and hurting to Christ.
Are you willing to receive Christ tonight? Because you may never have a moment quite like this again.
You come and receive him into your heart and say yes to him.
Hundreds of you right now, just get up out of your seat and say tonight, I want my sin forgiven. I want to know I'm going to heaven. I want eternal life. I'm ready to surrender my life to Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to follow him from this night on.
Praise the Lord. It's like, that's enough for a sermon, isn't it, right there? Someday you will read, it's this quote, that Billy Graham is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. I shall be more alive than I am now. I will just have changed my address. Another quote. My home is in heaven. I'm just traveling through this world. And a third quote I wanted to read from Billy Graham. I've read the last page of the Bible. It's all going to turn out all right. I love that. I love those words. You know, there's estimated in his ministry that over 80 million people attended a Billy Graham crusade. Wow. Estimated that 3 million responded to the call to accept Christ. A Savior. Puts it in perspective, doesn't it? We were impressed with Paul's. How many got saved that day, Paul? 5,000? That was pretty impressive. But 3 million. The largest crusade he ever did was in Seoul, South Korea. An estimated 3.2 million attended in a four-day period. And 1.1 million of them traveled by foot to get to the crusade. And in South Korea, 75,000 accepted Christ that week. 75,000. And I like the fact that, like Paul in the New Testament, constantly pointed to Jesus Christ as the answer to everything. And that is true. No greater message will you hear that Jesus Christ is the answer to everything in this world. I see two things in the life of Billy Graham that we can use to demonstrate God's power in our lives. And number one was the message. The Word of God. The message of Jesus Christ. And number two was a person of integrity giving that message. When you combine those two things, you take serious land for the God's kingdom. Right? And every one of us have the Word of God and the message, right? We know it. Jesus Christ is the answer. It's the integrity part that the enemy wants to mess around with, because we got to make some choices in life. You know, I went to a youth rally or a national youth conference in Colorado when I was about 16 years old. And I'm sure my dad paid for the trip because I didn't have any money. But my dad, even growing up in a separated home, he would at least give us money to go to summer camps. And he would always, so praise the Lord that we have that, because I would end up at summer camps and I don't know how the money got there. My pastor used to just not even ask me. He would just go straight to my dad and give him money for camp. Okay. I didn't even know what was going on. You know, we just knew it's paid. So I went to Denver, Colorado, and I was young, 16, and these words were spoken. Until this day, I haven't forgot them, right? One of them was about pride, which you all probably know. I'll repeat it just for the fun of it, for those of you who haven't heard. But the other one was about integrity. And he said, integrity is this. It is what you do when you're at home, alone, and nobody is watching. Wow. That hit me. Boom. Am I a person of integrity? And the other one was pride. God doesn't want to injure your pride. He wants to kill it. I like that one. So true. And so when I look at this life of Billy Graham, who, by the way, I saw on the news yesterday that they're going to put his casket in the Capitol or the wherever they do that. But the last civilian to have that done, too, was Rosa Parks. That's a pretty big honor, right? Not very often done. What is it? The Rotunda, I think they call it, at the Capitol or something like that. That is a national honor, really. I mean, that's a big deal. And why did Billy Graham get this kind of no one could criticize him. No one, whether you were Republican or Democrat or Christian or atheist, nobody could look at this man and say that they didn't like him or that he was wrong or a hypocrite or anything like that. Why? Integrity. Integrity. I heard stories of Billy Graham saying that he would never go in a hotel. If there was a lady in the elevator, he would not get in the elevator with another lady. And they asked him why, and he said it wasn't because I didn't trust me or the lady. It was because I didn't want to give the enemy any foothold. Rumors. The enemy could set him up, right? And he was always thinking about the bigger picture. Not his integrity, the whole gospel. It mattered to him. He was a steward, an ambassador, as we learned on Tuesday. He was an ambassador for the kingdom of God. And he thought of his life that way. My job is to represent the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ, here on earth. And he tried to do it to the best of his ability. He'll be the first one to tell you that he wasn't perfect and all that kind of stuff, right? Because he was a humble man. But the message and integrity, let's just quickly, a quick John 3:16. Everybody knows it, right? What is the message? What is the message, the simplicity of the gospel? What is it? And it is easy to understand. We can complicate it because we're sinners saved by grace, but it is very easy. For God so loved the world, He sent Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, to die on the cross, so that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the message. God loves us. We sang it the last few weeks in Valentine's Day, this music. God loves us so much. He could not stand that we did not have an opportunity to be in His presence forever. So He provided a bridge. And that bridge is Jesus Christ. And because of His righteousness, and because He's holy, and because He didn't sin and give in to His carnal sin that the enemy was trying to tempt Him to, He promised Him everything. And Jesus said, no. No, nothing but the Word of God. No, don't tempt the Father. And He said no to all these temptations. Because He was perfect, and then He died a sinner's death, He is now the bridge for all of us. Amen. It's the message. And Jesus said in John 14:6, He said Himself, in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am life. And no one comes to the Father but by Me. So there's the message. See, we're combining two things here, the message and integrity. Well, the message is so simple. The simplicity of the gospel. God loves us, and because He loves us, He sent His Son. And whoever believes in His Son, in the saving power, in believing that through His death we have life, and our sins are covered under His blood because He rose from the dead. When we believe that, nothing else matters. Your name is written in the book of life. Everything else you're going through is just stuff. It's called life. The good, the bad, the ugly. But Jesus clearly said, don't rejoice that demons are subject to you. Don't rejoice that you have this or have that. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. That's it. That was the message. It's a beautiful message. It's the message that Billy Graham preached over and over to the masses. It is the message Jesus communicated to us in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. It's the same message that Jesus gave us in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And He said this, go into all the world. Okay, I know you may feel I am not going to Ethiopia and to, you know. Okay, well let me translate. Go into your world, because your world is part of all the world, right? Go into your world of influence, right? We got things here that we can influence. Go out of these walls and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. It's a beautiful message. It is a message the world needs to hear. Sometimes we can complicate things because it's true. You know, once you get the message, there's life. And there's things the enemy comes and attacks, and we need to understand deeper things of the gospel to get through and to understand that our warfare is not carnal. It's spiritual, so it gets deeper. But that simple message that Billy Graham spoke about is the message that your neighbor needs to hear, that your loved ones need to hear, the simplicity of the gospel. Not a judging kind of way. There's times for that. Jesus clearly had times that He had to judge things. But to the sinners, he just gave the message, love. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So that's number one, the message. And combine the message with integrity. Go to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just way is a delight. Don't cheat. Right? Don't cheat the system, the government. Don't cheat this. Don't cheat that. Don't cheat. That's not integrity. Amen? Don't justify it. You deserve it so you can cheat. All of that is not integrity. You know what it means here by the balance? See, in the old days, there used to be people that would sell things, and they would sell it by the weight. And there was some that were cheating, and they would like overweigh one side so that they would charge the people more and get more out of the pound. They were cheating. That's not integrity. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Integrity results in God's divine guidance. When you are a person of integrity, God's divine guidance will guide you through life. Like Billy Graham's life. How did he end up in Seoul, South Korea to witness to, what was it, 3.2 million people? Integrity. To do what is right. Proverbs 21:3. Just turn a few chapters down. Proverbs 21, verse 3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. We've heard this before. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And in this case, integrity, to do what is right, to do what is just, is better than sacrifice. God prefers obedience and integrity over you saying, Lord, I'm going to give up all this for you. What good is it to give all this up for you if you don't have integrity and you're not obedient? Amen? Integrity is a big deal. Obedience is a big deal. And those two kind of come hand in hand. So these two things, the message and integrity. It's not the last one, but let's go to Psalms. Let's go back one book. Psalms chapter 41, verse 11. Psalms chapter 41, verse 11. 11 and 12. Just two verses. 41, verse 11. By this I know that through that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Because of David's integrity in this psalm, he was being upheld from his enemies, and he was in his presence forever. You know, in God's presence, there's power. Amen? So these two things combined change the world. You know, what Billy Graham in his ministry as his servanthood to Jesus Christ, what he did in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s set our understanding of the evangelical movement. It's big. How we understand today has a lot to do with his message. And he didn't deviate very often from the message. It was very simple. God loves you. You need God. And Jesus is the answer. Amen. Ah, wow. Simple. But it takes people of integrity to relay that message. So church, that's our calling. To be people of integrity. If you, even Billy Graham stated it there. He said, you may not even have the power to overcome your sins or your faults. But if you seek Christ, He will empower you to rise above and overcome. And people of integrity get that. They get that. And so that's the challenge for us today. In remembering Billy Graham's ministry, and he'll be buried this week. and I'm sure there'll be some things in the news, but his message was simple, the simplicity of the gospel. It's beautiful, it's powerful, and it is life-changing. When you combine the simplicity of the gospel with instruments like you and me, with integrity, the result is going to be powerful salvations, powerful move of God. There is nothing more powerful in this world than a man or woman coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, knowing that they need Him as Lord and Savior. Nothing more powerful. Amen? Amen? So when you saw these people in those crusades and the Colosseums come to the front to respond to the message, I need Christ as Savior. You are watching miracles. You're watching power. Amen. 1 Corinthians, last scripture, chapter 2, verse 3. This scripture that Paul wrote reminds me of this topic because Paul said these words. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I need to find it because I didn't mark it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. It reminds me of this simple message. And Paul even said as much. It's about simplicity. He says, I'm not coming with you. I came to you not with excellency of speech or of wisdom that was way out there, declaring unto you the testimonies of God. Paul said, I didn't come to you with all this fancy stuff. Like, you know, there's some people who can speak, and they speak so well, they can persuade you to buy anything. Have you ever heard those people? They're called salespeople. Those car salesmen, boy, they're tough to work with, right? But he didn't come with that kind of salesmanship. Fancy, persuasive words. He says, I didn't come with any of that. I had determined, Paul says to the Corinthians, I had determined to know anything among you save. The only thing I wanted to talk to you about was Jesus Christ, and he was crucified, and he rose again so that you may have eternal life. That's all. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words. Like, I didn't come here to sell you something. It wasn't with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it came in the demonstration of the Spirit of God and of power. When Billy Graham got up there and said, if you want Jesus Christ, you come and you accept Him. Making that decision, the power of God was at work in people's hearts. And there's no greater miracle than that conversion of the heart. And why did he do that? Because I didn't want your faith should not be stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So Paul said, the simplicity of the gospel and the power that's behind it is proof that it's not about man, it's about God. You see, you combine the message, the truth, with integrity, and you have something that's powerful. And we got to see it in this life a little bit. Not to its total, right? Because until we get to heaven, you're going to see the whole glory of Jesus Christ and His kingdom. But let that be a challenge to you. Some of you are called. I mean, all of us are called to greatness. But some of you are at a point where you need to make a choice. You need to make a choice. Are you taking that step and being that person of integrity? And you're going to make a difference. You can do the work. We have a tremendous opportunity in what we're doing this week. Pastor Green and Kathleen and the work we've done as a church to get out to the community. There's people in that area that trust us. We have some integrity as a church with a group of people that need to know about Christ. If you combine integrity, you got to be real, right? Integrity with a message. Then you have power. We will take land for His kingdom. So I want to encourage you to, when you go home and pray and be honest to God, it's a simple gospel, but be people of integrity and trust Him. There's power. There's power with your neighbor, with your coworker, with your relative, wherever you may be. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time, this remembering of a man that had integrity and had the message. But he himself would tell the people over and over it wasn't about him. That it was about Jesus Christ and God's love for the world. Lord, we receive that message. Lord, we are not ashamed of that message. We are proud to be counted as heirs to the kingdom of God. And Lord, we're so thankful this morning that we can remember a life, but even more importantly than that, we live the message that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to keep your eyes closed and head bowed. I'll give an opportunity for anybody in this place. You've heard the message, the simple message. If you just known that you've been running away from the Lord or haven't, and you're not sure where you're at right now with God, if you're in that state where you're it's not clear that God is Lord of your life, I want to give you an opportunity before we end today's service to come and say, no, I want to be counted to. I want to make sure. I want Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior and my guide of my life. I'm going to count to three. And if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to come and we're just going to pray and just believe. Every life matters. Every life matters. And there is power in this decision. The power of God is not working in your heart right now. Saying, no, don't go through the motions. You know you need to be changed. The real change. 1, 2, 3.